one. It's
Hello.
Bond imitation bar glasses.
Perfect. It's like he's here. Hello, welcome to the Honest Talk Game. I'm your host, Ron. Welcome to the 40K Jason Show. We're joined by Falcon. Hey, Falcon, are you well?
I'm great. Kaka, boo-boo, whatever the people want me to say.
And we're also joined by Nick. Nick, you're placing Val today. How's that going?
Yeah, it's going okay. I'm not as charismatic, so but yeah, I'll make up for it in the
just like drive. Do this a bunch with money and talk down to us about how poor we are, and that will suffice.
Waiter, get me another tea.
There we go.
Really not knocking around the bourgeoisie class, are you there, Nick? I don't think that's what they shout, but
that's exactly what. Listen, the whole when Russia was overthrown, the czars were taken out, it was really just because of this tea situation. That's always what it's been. United States was tea, Russia
was
tea.
Russia was tea. Yeah, it's true. India was even tea, actually. The
yeah.
Maharajas.
Now that I think about it,
tea's
had
blood
a big in the
effect.
Water.
Yeah.
Tea is a big deal. Big deal.
So welcome everyone to the show. Obviously Val's sick today, but that's okay. Like, he's doing quite well. I thought we'd maintain his feet. Pete, it's lovely having you on. Thank you so much for being here. Nick, thank you also. Pete, let's catch up with you. How you been? You been okay?
Doing okay. Really relaxing week of catching up on stats because I didn't really touch them for a couple weeks there leading up to the Open, and just like doing logistics for how to do another event but make it better. So that's really been where my brain's at. I was up dumb late last night because I got an idea and I had to write it on a whiteboard to see it. And but here I am. Everything's good.
Oh, so you're thinking of doing a similar style event?
I think we want to do one more. I think like the reviews were in and they were pretty positive for like the drastically for the most part. So we want to give it one more go where we fix the bad stuff. Well, the bad stuff, because I think it'd be easy to fix and see where that lands. But it's like months and months away. I'm just doing the footwork at the beginning to make sure it's a little smoother. And that's right now. It's just a lot of writing things down and thinking about ideas and what works best.
I had an idea for you, Pete, if you want to hear it.
Let me lay it on me.
You were talking about when the list got passed on, so Siegler passes it on his list to someone else, and you were saying they couldn't play it as he played it. What about if you have like a dummy person? So you have two people. So Siegler is in the other person's ear saying, and you have two, you could have two tables. So Siegler's playing his game in America. Someone else is playing the exact same game in England. But one player at each table is the actual real player. The other person is just a puppet. So you have two games going on
like Master Blaster.
At the same time.
Like Master Blaster. Yes. No, that's very similar to one of our ideas of how we're going to do this. Is something along that line. Probably just going to have, like in this example, Siegler like Skyped in right to their table and walking the player through like what he would do, giving tips and tricks, possibly playing the game out himself. We're not at that point yet in how that would play out. One of the things that was nice about the first go was like we didn't have people quote unquote on call, so we could say, hey, streamers, like you only have to be available for these 3 hours. Don't worry about it. I'll be available for the other 69. But now, like they really wanted to be involved. We saw it with a few of the streams where like the guys were watching their list and they wanted to give advice. So it's a no-brainer answer. We're looking at a couple other options as well, but that's the easiest one to implement is to just be like, yeah, just get on a Skype call with these dudes or Discord and talk out, like give them coaching,
is it me playing every list? Is that the other option? Me playing every list for you?
Yes. We were going to send it to you, all of them. And, about 2 days in advance, hope you could 3D print all the models. And
I probably could actually
and paint them We need them to be like pristine, Rob. That's the thing. So, and then play. Yeah.
Well, I've got this. I don't know. You guys in the chat. I've got this brush now. So this is really going to work for me. I think this is it's, mainly what I do fine detail work with nowadays. This fella. can I just say thanks to everyone in the chat for joining. Also, thanks to Tank Roberts, hashtag Shieldwall, for donating £5 to the show. Appreciate that. Loads. That will be going on the aforementioned 3D printer fund.
I got to log in. Tank, did you get your thing? Mikey still hasn't sent me a picture, and I'm really mad. So, Tank, you better go see Mikey. Get the thing. I want a picture.
He stole it, probably.
Yeah.
Mikey probably stole it.
Logged it on eBay.
I wouldn't put it past the guy.
Imagine how much that would go on eBay for, the official Nopen trophy. Does anyone know if any, like, 40K trophies have ever been sold?
Yes. Yeah, they definitely have. I remember one went up on eBay last year, and it was, like, a really funny little kerjuffle that occurred when it happened, but
oh really?
It was like one of the best in faction trophies from like I can't remember 2017 or something. Anyway, it was quite funny. Someone put
great.
It up on eBay for like $100.
That's amazing. I once gave one of my trophies away as a present. I won a golden not a golden Throne of Skulls event. For Age of Sigmar, but then when I flew over to Australia for the first time, so the guys crowdfunded for me to fly over, I was like, I didn't have any money to my name to like give anything to anyone as a thank you. So the organizer, Clinto, I gave him that trophy because they obviously don't have those Games Workshop official tournaments over there, so they don't have access. And they're actually really beautiful models, truthfully. Like they're really cool. It's a cool trophy, basically. So that was that's a fun little thing. Should have flogged it. That was such a better idea. Damn it. Now that's all I'm going to do. Try and win events, then flog the trophy.
Just ask for it back.
It's a good idea.
Just say, remember that trophy I lent you?
It was a gift, Nick. It was a gift.
Yeah.
We haven't broken up. Nothing's so I'm really not asking for it back.
That's so awkward when that happens too. Oh. When you break up and you're like, can I get my bowling trophies back? I really would like that. Like, don't want to get
too, I've got too many bowling trophies. I think I'm going to be fine. I'm glad you're well. You are well, though. That's good. You're just tired.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm always tired. That's just like, I'm like the Hulk that way. And then we're in the middle of a polar vortex. So it's been super duper to go outside the last week.
Wow.
Like, just the best. It was minus 52 degrees Fahrenheit, 47 Canadian, and everybody else that actually knows how the system works. Like 2 days
just,
ago last night.
It's like not it was hot, normal, or cold to me.
Sounds very cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, very cold. Okay.
Well, it's Celsius. It was minus 48 and minus 47 the last couple of days.
That is nuts.
So, like last night, I left work and I was like, okay, well, I got to gas up the truck. This is going to be awesome. And it wasn't. It was the worst. Like, I burned my hand on the gas pump at the station, the petrol pump. I went to pick it up and I burned my hand. It was so cold. So, that was awesome.
Wow.
And yeah. And Bronx is quite hilarious because every time he goes to use the washroom, like he'll scratch at the door. So you go to open the door and his eyes get like super wide because he just realized how different it is in the outside world. And he just has no
made a huge mistake.
You have to like, yeah, you have to shove him out by his arse because he's not doing it in here. And he's not happy about it. He's like, you son of a bitch. What have you done to me?
Does his wee freeze before it hits the floor?
It definitely freezes like at some point in the stream and like it's all bad. All of it is bad. But there are some funny moments like putting him in his snowsuit so he can use the bathroom. Because his snowsuit is absolutely ugly and I love it. So
I hadn't thought about the fact that the pets would have to go out in such incredibly cold conditions to use the loo. That's really funny. Yeah, minus 47, yeah. Fuck about. Yeah, I agree.
Everyone in the chat
pretty shocked.
Yeah,
it's minus one here, and we had 2 centimeters of snow, so basically the same.
Mate, it was awful.
Oh my god!
I had to scrape my car windscreen this morning. Oh, it was a fucking nightmare.
That's the best part. When it's that cold, you don't generally have to scrape anything because it's just it's too cold. Like, even ice is like, fuck off. We're not doing this. It's just like, it's like just crystals. Like, my beard turns white, like, after a couple minutes outside. I'll take a picture sometime and send you, Rob. It's good.
All right. Honestly, I'd love to see some pictures because it's blowing my mind a little bit, like, thinking that through. That's pretty nuts. But Nick, you've been well? You just catch up with you? You okay?
Yeah, I've been fine. Yeah. Just same old lockdown life. At home, working from home, not going anywhere. But I've been enjoying painting my Death Guard Rhino that I've converted.
Yes. Ooh. I love that. That was great on Twitter.
Playbase brawler. Yeah, I asked a couple of people who have 3D printers to print me some stuff, but I grew tired. I grew tired of their ghosting me on 3D printing stuff. So I decided to 3D... my friend James and then you.
Call us out. That's it. Don't let us hide from it. Yeah, go carry on.
So I decided to 3D print because I wanted to convert a playburst crawler into a rhino. And I saw a conversion online where someone had used the back part of a chimera, the sort of back bit. So I decided to 3D print it with my own hands using plasticard, green stuff, and glue. So I've done that. But what was quite lucky is the top part there is an original. So the original Predator tank, I had three of them for my old Chaos Army. So OOP Predators. And they just, like, the curved shape of it just happened to perfectly fit at that top bit and look really nice. So I was quite lucky that I had those parts for that conversion. Other than that, it's just, like, straight bits of plastic and, like, a rhino hatch at the back. But it looks quite cool. I was really pleased with it. So I'm just painting my last few Death Guard tanks.
Yeah, that's what I'm most excited about. Pete, like, what's the general consensus on Death Guard at, like, a while after? We've been through all of our review shows now, and me and Nick pretty settled on we're loving a bit of rhinos, mainly because I can't be asked to buy tons of Terminators, but that's kind of the mm-hmm. what have you got? Have you had any thoughts? Have you seen any things?
I mean, I've played into them on the TTS. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. I think until the Dark Angel Codex got released, they were super baller, and then Dark Angels came out and everyone was like, oh, this is just better. Almost everything other than Mortarian is really the big concern. Plague Burst Crawlers are still fantastic, I think, at least in terms of comparing the two. But like, Dark Angels do everything they do, but better is the main problem right now. Like, Death Guard have Morty, and then, like, Dark Angels Terminators are better than Death Guard Terminators for one. That's a big concern, and a few other things.
Is that just because the OBSEC thing, or the fact that
they that helps. It makes them just as hard to kill. And then you tag on all of their stratagems that are just, like, ridiculous, and their psychic tree is so good. It's probably, I would say, it's the best psychic tree in the game. Arguably the best psychic tree in the game. So it'll be interesting to see if, like Death Guard, the problem with Dark Angels will be balance. Can you make a balanced list? Because Death Guard can definitely win a game, like, no problem. I'm not saying they're bad. I think they're a very good army. They're slow enough that if you have a good speed game, you can play the mission against them very well. Which is, like, good on you guys for talking up rhinos, because you need something. You can't just do Terminators, because people, like, a smart player will just outplay you. They'll just take the board and run around you instead. But Dark Angels are a concern for me. And hopefully it's like, an invalid concern, and we'll find out it's nothing. But, like, a good mixed Dark Angel army is a scary, scary thing. I played into just Ravenwing with an all Custodes Dreadnought list and had a ball, but you could already see kind of the power they had there. If he had bothered taking any Deathwing or even Plasma Inceptors, I don't know. Like, it's just a whole other thing. So
it's interesting right now. Like, is, because obviously I know you'll be keeping track. Is there a lot of tournaments happening at the minute to, like, generate data? I know obviously there'll be the Bat Rep guys, which have been pretty much for 40K and Age of Sigmar, other than TTS tournaments, that have been the kind of consensus for like being able to drag data in. However, there have been some pretty significant TTS tournaments for 40k as well. I was watching the Tactical Tortoise tournament the other day. I got loads to say about that, but like in different conversation. I watched some of that the other day. I don't know if you saw. Do you keep track any of that? For you, it's just IRL stuff, not really the TTS stuff.
I keep track, but not. I don't write it down. There's so much going on there, and I if I wanted to keep track, I want my finger on it like a lot firmer, because early on they implemented some rules, and then they might have stopped, like where you're allowed to change your warlord traits and relics and such game to game, which really drastically changes how certain armies function. I'm not sure if they still do that for those Tactical Tortoise tournaments. I do pay attention to that stuff, though. I pay attention to, like, when Goonhammer's been doing their meta-analysis articles, I'm in, like, a chat with them. So I get access to the ITC Battles app data. And so I do a lot of work in that. I let them kind of do their thing because I'm not going to step on toes. But I keep track just to see for myself, like, where things are headed from, like, a practice game and RTT level. Josh Diffie sends me data pretty consistently if I ask for it for RTT level stuff. So I get a lot of data to kind of see where win rates are and things. And recently in the last 3 weeks, Australia's had 2 majors, 2 GTs. So that has given me a little bit as well to kind of see where things are headed. But most of it didn't include the new Death Guard. So I'm hoping in the next month or two, we'll get to see like just where Death Guard stand as a whole. In tournament play and Dark Angels. I'm not sure. Maybe Australia will slow down as well, but 4 events is pretty big. There was one in Colombia, but the Colombia meta is very new, so I don't put a whole lot into it. It was very interesting to see Craft World Eldar.
Yeah, they must be so undefeated. Frantic. I'm rolling force!
I'm gonna smash this game! I'm sure. But it, like we talked to them last year when they had their, I think it was their first GT, their first like official GT, and it was awesome to talk to these guys about it. And so this year, like last year it was like Firstborn Dark Angels won. This year it was like mono faction Craft World Eldar, like no spam. It was very much like I took some striking scorpions. I had a couple, I had 2 Wraith Lords. It was very interesting list. So I'm curious to see how this stuff all plays out. Going forward.
I think it's super sweet. Like we get this with Age of Sigmar as well, when we end up with I think about the Japanese meta at the minute, which is super great. But it's got some great players over there. Stuart's over there, I know that for a fact. And there's a whole bunch of other guys over there. And sometimes I'm just like, they're like, we got a tournament, 22 people. No, not even that. I don't think it's that big. Like it's great. And then when you see the first place, you're like, yeah. You go, lads. Like, you're great. Like, there has to be some sort of, like, thing. One of the thoughts I had, actually, was, because you made a really good point, is about the meta generally. Like, I'm still sat here painting up my Death Guard. I mean, if games were available, maybe I'd have pushed a little bit harder and they'd be done, but I still have some rhinos to do and some other little bits. So I'd still be a little bit behind on the production meta, ultimately, which is one of those things about real-life events. Pete, I know you track with this as well, that when there are events, there's obviously, like, a production lag, pretty much. Like, if something comes out and it just is bonkers. Like, I know that there was a bunch of guys sat on Dark Angels Terminators anyway, but was there enough for to affect the whole game? However, the TTS like environment is actually a really fascinating one, I think, because it allows you to, like, for instance, in the Age of Sigmar conversation, so 2 new books go on pre-order this weekend, which means, like, as with always pre-orders, there'll be the content creators have got all the stuff on the Friday will be out, which means we'll all basically know the rules come Saturday day/night, which means Saturday night/Sunday I can be practicing these armies before they come out, before the rules are out, which I think is really cool. And I do wonder, like, if we're going to see, because I know TTS has always existed, but I feel like it's definitely obviously upticked over COVID. I do wonder if we'll see, before the production meta can predict, or, like, you know, like you said with Dark Angels. Dark Angels might be strong in the future. Like, we have to see them on the tables to see. Death Guard, same thing. However, there could be guys who've racked up dozens of games by now under their belt over on TTS without needing to paint a model. Like, every minute you've spent needing to paint the army up to play it on the tabletop, has been an hour spent playing the game. And I think that that's a fascinating conversation going forward, because you might end up with the like the real life game not lagging, that's not right, but there being a disconnect in the speed of those two environments. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yep, I do. I don't think there's enough data yet on it, because we're not getting a lot of IRL stuff to really talk to. But one, there's a lot of anecdotal stuff going out about players that are succeeding at TTS with lists that are. I see a lot of talk on like Reddit of people saying, you know, like TTS is several months ahead of the meta, and I don't think that's true. The top end players are generally very good at figuring out what's good, like immediately these days. Whether the whole world figures it out right away is a whole other story. But I'm seeing a lot of like people doing these TTS events, and then they go into a real life event, and it's much different because the physical event changes things, right? Mm-hmm. And that can cause certain things. Like, people can be very successful in the digital side and they fail miserably on the table. So I need more data on that to see if that's like an actual truism, or if it's just, you know, hey, it's just these one or two guys. But like everything I'm seeing, there's very little that I'm seeing in TTS that surprises me. Like, anytime I see like a list that's successful, I've already talked about that list with somebody. Out in the real world, it's just a thing. Like, these, like, you see Sisters do well, you see Harlequins do well, you're seeing this Daimakeron Tyranid list do very well. Part of it, I think, if there's a mistranslation between the two, is that TTS terrain, at least right now, is generally very very thick. Like, there's a lot of it, and you can hide stuff that you often cannot hide in a real game. Like the Daimakeron list, in most games you're never going to be able to hide two Daimakerons, but you see it happen all the time in TTS, and that makes that list absolutely terrifying when it can actually, you know, have a full turn to move across the board and do work. So it'll be interesting to see, like, if this continues on post COVID, and if TTS predicts the meta, or if it's just like a mirror of it.
Yeah. Nick, you got any thoughts on that? Sorry, you've.
Why is there a difference between sort of TTS terrain setups and real world terrain setups? Because a lot of the TTS games that I've seen generally would use like the WTC terrain maps, which is obviously modeled on real life setups that they've designed specifically to create a more balanced game. I'm not sure why people are choosing to have more of a heavier board when they wouldn't necessarily in real life. I can see why that make a difference. But one thing in terms of TTS and real world gaming, I think the really, you know, zooms in micro management of your models and placement of models is much more easier in real life and much harder to do, I think, in TTS. So I think, you know, better play. It's easier to get those tiny little plays that make a big difference in real life.
And there's a mental disconnect. There's a mental disconnect, I think, when you're in TTS versus in real life in person. Like, there's an ability to see more faster in TTS than in the real world, right? So things that become, that you need practice with to become rote, like, okay, I need to check these measurements, I need to do this, I need to do that, so much easier in TTS, so you just do it. So there's like ingrained laziness that we have, some of us, when we play, that you don't really have to worry about because it's just a mouse click away. And then there's that like psychological pressure when you're up against certain people at a table that you don't necessarily have in TTS. So there's a lot there.
Yeah.
And like I said, it'll be just interesting once more games happen where you can actually like sit down and say, is this a real factor or not? Because I'm not sure. I'm honestly not. I think it might just be anecdotal stuff, but wait and see. And as to the terrain thing, not like, yeah, TTS is definitely using WTC stuff, but it's like, that's not how the world will work when we come out of it, right? Like, there will definitely be a bunch of people trying to use WTC terrain, but there'll be a ton that won't.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of reasons, what they have. Right? Yeah. Like, for instance, gaming clubs don't own the terrain that's necessary. Pete makes a great point there that, like, yeah, the real world, like, I mean, one of the benefits, I guess, really to the real world, if we can draw some silver linings out of the COVID experience, is obviously that there has been the ability to, like, people could in the background be like, cool, we're going to build our boards of terrain up for our local club, our gaming clubs, our, like, tournament scenes. You know, you think about, like, obviously, the FLG guys, they'll have started working on this terrain, like, months and months and months and months before even the launch of the edition. Then obviously you've got the launch of the edition, so they've got all this terrain that they can take to all these different events. Whereas you talk about different countries that they might not have all of it put together. You obviously think about something like the LGT, who struggled a couple of times to produce enough terrain. I think the last time we were there, I think the general consensus was that they nailed it, at least, to give them their due. Mm-hmm. But like, there has to be in an environment enough terrain to produce. Very much similar for like the WTC, that they've got to produce enough terrain to actually be able to like effectively create it. But my point is that like that there's going to be like, it's interesting that there's any division at all between TTS and like what should be, let's do it, let's call it that, what should be maybe real world. And I guess again thanks to Ishik, the WTC guys, and there are some other people that have done them as well, like settling on Pete, how important is it going to be for you in the future with the stats, because it's got to be an interesting conversation for you, and I'm sure you've already thought about it. When events come back, are you going to like ask for terrain picks? Like, is it going to be a part of the ongoing conversation? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't think
that would be really interesting if you could track that. Like, what
it would be,
how the terrain affected the matchups and the games. Yeah,
like, so I guess here's, if there becomes this like a standardized set, like we've seen with WTC. Then maybe that becomes a thing I just add. Like, hey, what kind of terrain did you use? Old school Nova, WTC. That might be something I add to the mix. The one thing I will say is generally weight of data makes it so that those things are mostly irrelevant, unless there's a standardized format. So we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens when this goes away. Like, because I'm assuming a few months after we're allowed to play again will be when things really pick up. And then if it's like it was last year, we'll be sitting on 7, 8, 9 events a week. So it'll be very easy to eat. Like, no matter what the terrain's like, you'll just have outliers when the terrain's really bad or ridiculously good. But because they'll just be so the weight of the data will average everything else out. So that's usually why I don't care too much about how the terrain is. Like, I've seen in the past, like, Manny Chima won an event once, like, a couple years back with, like, whatever, it was something stupid, like, 18 broadsides at an event that barely had any terrain. And so that was definitely a skew list that worked because of the terrain, and you could see it and know it, but it didn't function outside of that tournament, right?
Yeah,
so it's not like it artificially grew Tau's stats, right? It was just a thing.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things about the stats versus like just podium results, which I always think is quite important, because obviously like people will always talk about the list that won the event. And normally it's like, if you're second, you're just second place loser. However, like if you look at the stats across the board, I find that quite fascinating as well. Like, because you kind of get a better actual interpretation of what's doing well and what isn't doing well. A good example would be the Warhammer mm-hmm. World events. I saw Dan in the chat talking about that. Me and Nick, having played there quite a bit, literally like a lake of ice would have had more cover is how I feel. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah
I felt like an English fella. And here's the other Normandy thing.
Like, we're still arguing over what proper terrain is. I think a lot of people have switched to this, like, WTC is the way to go. But there's a ton of people that don't think that, right? They're just like, oh, that's too much, you need to only have like one piece in your deployment zone. And so, like, we still don't know. Like, I don't think anyone actually knows what the proper amount of terrain still is yet. I think
I like the WTC layouts in terms of like their attempt to create like a nice competitive layout of a board, but I wouldn't like it to be adopted as the norm, because they do look quite boring if you're playing on that map mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. forever, every tournament. It's kind of like the Nova Elves, like, they became really popular, and we started to, I don't know about you, Pete, but we started to get a little bit bored of seeing it and playing on it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's lovely to go to a tournament. Like, I remember the Last Chance Open we went to a couple of years ago. All of their terrain is their own. It wasn't a tournament where, like, the culture in Age of Sigmar in England is you bring your own terrain, and it kind of, it's just a hodgepodge of stuff. But the Last Chance Open, they had all of their own stuff, and it was absolutely beautiful. Whether or not they were balanced boards or not, I don't know, but they looked fantastic. There's lots of varied terrain setups. So I would hate for Terrain just to become this boring, homogenous set of ruins in a particular order that we play on. So no, you looked at that before, Rob, didn't you? Like, I want to make these layouts, but I want to make them not boring.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And of course, like, one of the things you go to is you go to all of the places where they only have to create one board. This is what I've done a lot of research on this. They only have to create one board, like, which it would be a bat rep place. I mean, they make loads, depending on the channel, they make loads of different boards. So that's not meant to be. But you don't have to make 100 boards, as an example, right? Versus the 8 or so different boards. And they've obviously got loads of money to spend on it as well. So you go to those and you look at them, and the diversity is quite interesting. And the conversations, how much it impacts the game. The problem is when you are talking about tournaments versus a battle or a port or playing with your mates, is you do want some sort of parity. Like, that is, like, and if Terrain didn't really affect the game, right? Let's say Age of Sigmar, although there are arguments that you could make Terrain affect it well, and I think that that's something that should happen. 40K Terrain massively affects the game. Like, it affects it, like, hugely. So, like, it makes some armies viable, some armies not viable. Again, talking about WTC, one of the things I love most about that and something I implemented in the Super Series that I thought was super valuable was heavy density, medium density, light density boards. Was fascinating having that conversation and listening to Tom say that he really asked people to design into the density of board, not to design into opposing matchups, which I think is fascinating as well. Like, you know, running a smallish event at your local club and being like, cool, it's all light density boards, is sweet, because then you know that it's going to be loads of shooting. You know that that's going to be the case. So you don't turn up not aware of the information. I think that's the kind of... It would be great, obviously, to get from Games Workshop, heck, this is what we think is a medium or the standard density level of board would be great. But obviously, we haven't had that. And some maps as examples. But we haven't had that, even from the Terrain book.
Yeah. I think that's coming. I'd like to hope that's coming, because I see people bug Mike Brandt about it every once in a while. Like, once a month, someone's like, hey, where's that article on how to set up our tables? And he usually, like, mumbles something and then, like, walks away because he doesn't care. But I'm assuming, like, because he's being bugged enough, we'll see an article like that. So who knows?
I have a question for you.
Sorry, Nick. You do, Chang.
I was going to say, it would be nice just... I don't think they need to give us specific layouts. I think maybe if they say light, medium, heavy, here's our general philosophy for a heavy board. Have a few line of sight in the middle and blah, 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 blah. So just sort of like some rough guidelines would be nice. But I think we can come up with that as a community. Yeah. I don't think we need to rely on Games Workshop for that.
I do want that. Do the fucking work for your game. Like, I do want that. I do want, like, they've got 10 blokes together, whether it be community members or whoever they've got to do it. I do want that, and I want it done well. I don't want them to be like, we reckon it should be kind of dense. Like, I want, like, a map, an alternate map, some other maps. I think
the danger is that becomes too prescriptive, like I was saying with the WTC.
Pop-up book.
Yeah. I want those things that pop up.
Unfold for me.
Yeah. I still think...
You can get those. Did you see that Kickstarter, the fold-out pop-up Terrain?
Yes, so I did. That was actually really cool.
What was your question?
So, Rob, on to more important matters.
Yeah.
Because we've talked way too much 40K for my brain.
Okay.
What are you doing right now? What are you up to? How are you?
Oh, thanks. I'm good. I don't want to repeat the joke from last night, because I had to go to the doctor's yesterday. And he said I was overweight.
You had to go to the doctor?
Yeah. He said I was overweight. And I asked for a second opinion, and he said I was ugly. That was my joke from yesterday.
I like that.
Good. I'll carry
that's
that on.
Cute.
No. I'm good.
A third opinion.
Yeah, go on.
You smell as well.
Oh.
I know. Rough. I'm good. I'm painting my Death Guard up still. Very excited about them. None of the other 40K armies coming out at the moment really tickle my pickle. Drakari, I'm not too stressed about unless they do something with new models. I quite like how Talos look. I like that whole kind of range racks and all that. It'd be nice to see that go updated. I'm still quite cautious about the orcs. Tempted to sell my orcs at the moment because I'm not certain that... I think orcs might change up in the future. And so I'd like to see some... I'd like to see what that looks like. I guess really, like everyone else though, one of the things that's... For me, I'm... So the reason I talked about TTSP was because... I felt really connected. And Nick, it might be a good point, a question to ask you as well. I felt really connected to Age of Sigmar because there's been TTS events run by Owen. We've like done the coverage for that. Or I've played in some games and that's felt really fun and engaging. But I haven't been able to really connect with 40K quite as much because the events that have been happening have been like a little bit far away. And like, you know, I just haven't been able to connect with it. Does that make sense? Like, and yeah. So like, I think I'd like to either like maybe enter a TTS tournament or play some TTS games a bit more to connect with that. That's the kind of place I'm at. I also feel like the game is like not stilted, stunted, but like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like it's progressed a lot. But maybe obviously you've been keeping track more. So maybe there's that dichotomy, right? Where I haven't been keeping as track as well as you've been keeping track. So if I'd have done what I've done for Age of Sigmar, I'd feel more connected to 40K like I do to Age of Sigmar. And that's always a bit of a problem. But then I never really know where to go. I think that's the major drama. Like, I could just go to 40K Stat Center. Is that like, is there a day it's updated every time, or is it, does it not really work like that?
No. Well, if there's an event, I usually update it like the Monday or the Sunday, depending. Because of the Nopen, I didn't update it for like a month because I was busy doing other stuff. But I popped 6 events onto it last night. If there's an event this coming weekend, I'll put the rest of them up. It'll start being a Monday thing again. It just depends on events. Really, there haven't been a ton. I probably should post stuff on the blog more often, but I'm not into it. I get to it, I'm like, not really. People don't need to know what I think. I don't want to type it out anyway and get on the adjacent show and say it. I'm real lazy.
Much easier to talk, isn't it?
It is. You really spoiled me, Rob, by letting me just speak. Same with Pablo. Once that happened, I was like, I don't need to use my fingers anymore.
It's nice hearing you talk. I mean, the other thing, Nick, did you feel the same? We chatted about this offline the other day. Same sort of vibe, right?
Yeah, I think I spoke to Scriv about it as well. I feel quite disconnected from 40K because I've played one game in about 6 months. In the first lockdown in England, I played some TTS with James. We tried one 40K game on TTS, but it crashed after we deployed, and we were just like, oh, can't be bothered with that again. Screw that. We started playing Bolt Action because there's slightly fewer models and it's slightly more streamlined rules. So we played a bit of that, but second lockdown, we haven't played any TTS. So I've played like one game of 40K in 6 months. So I feel like, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. I really feel like my 40K brain has started to rot away. Yeah. So when I'm sort of thinking, when I'm looking at a codex or thinking about Vols, I can sort of do the theory hammer in my head a little bit, but I just don't feel like, you're at the top of your game sort of thing, just because I've just not been playing. Mm-hmm. And I think also the motivation isn't quite there as well. When you've got like games coming up with your friends or a tournament coming up, you're much more motivated to sort of absorb that information that's out there and work it out in your head, work on a list or stuff like that. Just because there's like no tournaments in the near future, my brain isn't quite motivated to do that. Well, I'm much more just focused on just like building and painting stuff and just enjoying the hobby side of things rather than the gaming side currently.
Same. So yeah, like I mean the other stuff I've been doing obviously is printing terrain and armies like it's going out of fashion, which is super fun. And it isn't
going out of fashion, it's becoming the fashion, isn't it?
It's becoming the fashion very quickly, which has been a really fun time. And I think that's, I don't know, you know, sometimes you just got that goal set, like, and you must get this, Pete, because Pete, you're the best person to ask this of. You're disconnected from basically reality up in the cold north.
I am. Yeah.
Like, so talk us through, because actually this is quite interesting, because we're all now living that same life. How do you, always very disconnected, obviously you've got your local gaming group, but always disconnected from the game or like the larger kind of thing, how do you always maintain that? Because you've been doing this for years. Like, what's your process? Because actually that's a really interesting question, because we're all in that. How do I, or we, obviously there's the shows like this and there are loads of good content creators, like, what is your process for like trying to stay involved? Do you have like a routine? Do you anything, or do you jump around?
I kind of have a routine, I guess, now that I think about it. I'm in a lot of groups that discuss Warhammer. One thing I've been able to develop over the last couple of years with Stat Center and talking to people is I've developed a rapport with a lot of players that I consider to be like strategic minded. So it's very easy for me And I've created a responsibility on the website for myself, right? Like I feel a responsibility to keep up with the meta, keep updated so that I can get on these podcasts and say, hey, this is what's working. This is what isn't, and have observational data that I can use rather than just being purely subjective. And, but another part of that is because I've made all these really strong relationships, if I don't understand, I can just talk to them. And so like generally, like for me, Sunday evening, I pop onto Down Under Pairings. I pop onto Best Coast Pairings, Tourney Keeper, three or four other sites just to see if there's been any events. And then if I don't understand why a thing worked the way it did, I'll just message a guy I know that's good at it. And I'll be like, how the fuck did this win a game? And walk him, and he'll walk me through it. I'm in a couple Discords that are actually like, most Discords are, noise. There's just too much garbage going on because it's like 200 people and 40 of them actually talk, and they don't actually play the game, or they don't play it at the same level that you would see like win a GT or a major. I'm not saying that, like, I'm not trying to discount their opinion, but I kind of am to a small degree. So I've ended up in a couple of them that are actually like just very compact and good, and it wipes away that noise so that you can have these conversations where you bring up these lists, maybe that maybe just get like blown up on other Discords, and have a real talk about them, why they function, what might function in the future, get really good like analytics to go along with what you're trying to do. And that's really it. And the one thing I tell people all the time when they're trying to get better at Warhammer, or if they don't understand why something works, is like, you don't actually need that base rapport with most people in this game. Like all of them that I've created this rapport with, all it was a Facebook message, right? Like that's what started it. Because everybody that plays this game wants to talk about this game. I don't know a single soul, if you're like, hey, do you like Warhammer? And they actually like Warhammer, that they won't fucking talk your ear off for 3 hours, right?
Yeah,
like they'll want to butt in. They'll be like, no, let me tell you what's actually good. You shut up. You don't have an opinion. Mine is better. Like that's what they want. They want to have these conversations. They want to talk about the lore. They want to talk about literally everything. So it's real easy to look at a list and be like, okay, let me just text this dude. And it's just like
it's like if you're at a tournament between rounds, you don't like stop talking about Warhammer. All you want to do is tell all of your friends all about your game and what happened and why it was great or why it was so shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. A tip that I just thought of when you were speaking, Pete, is if you're confused about, this is for anyone, if you're confused about, you know, why something is good or bad, just go onto the Warhammer Competitive Facebook thread and say, this unit is shit. And then everyone in the group will comment as to why you're wrong and explain to you what's good about it. So it's just free information.
Free advice. Why pay anybody $90 a month when you can just go on Facebook and then get shit on for a couple of days about a comment? Yeah, I feel it. But that's like just the fact that I like tracking this stuff. I know that I can message Brandon Grant at any point if I wanted to and be like, hey, I saw this list running whatever, some weird Baneblade variant, just won an event. What makes this thing good? I don't understand. And then he can tell me it isn't. Don't do that. This is like, or he'll like lay it out. Like I said, these are all people that want to talk to you. They don't care. I've maybe had one experience in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of experiences I've had where somebody just either didn't respond or responded like really uncomfortably about the question. Basically, everybody else literally like they can't wait to tell you about their experiences. So.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so you go onto a bunch of websites and then you message the actual players who you can trust.
If I don't understand.
If you don't understand it.
But I live in it so much now like that's a little more rare these days. But that's it.
Okay, that's a good system. So just immerse yourself is the main way.
If you love it. If you like, you guys love your Age of Sigmar and you've immersed yourself in it and you're disconnected from 40K. I'm super disconnected from Age of Sigmar. I tried listening to some of your stuff and I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I don't know what what a wackadoo jigglybutt is. What's this?
They're really good, actually.
They just have real weird hats. Everything has weird hats in this game. That's the only thing I'm getting out of it.
It's not that I want to be disconnected. I think one of my major problems, which me and Nick have talked about a long time, is always just is the volume of information. Like, I did a whole tournament coverage over the weekend. We prepped for the 40K show. Like, I loved the 40K show on Thursday. Like, I walked away from that, and we had, like, some really good chats. And, like, and we talked about the armies, like in full. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, you were just like, I think we nailed where the army is necessarily. I just think the main problem is being connected to all of the other armies all of the time as a living game. Yeah. And I feel like it's events happening is really what drags me into that. And because I've been very involved in the TTS gaming for Age of Sigmar, like, if I hadn't been doing the TTS gaming with Owen for Age of Sigmar, I would be as disconnected as I feel to 40K. It's because I haven't jumped into TTS for 40K is how I feel that I don't feel as connected to 40K. That's my general vibe.
I think it's really hard to have system mastery and good knowledge of both games.
Yeah.
Like, for anyone. And I know, like, Rob, it's like your full-time job, but, like, you know, mainly the show's main focus in general has been Age of Sigmar. And it is incredibly difficult to, like, know inside and out both games. So, you know.
I mean, for a while I smashed it. I was just like, fucking February, January 2020, I just said Iron Hands for 6 months. I was finger gunning my way through 40K. That was not hard at all. But yeah, like, I mean, I'm very excited to play more 40K when time does come around, but we'll see. We'll see how that plays. I think, and also, like, yeah. That it's true. System mastery is very hard. System mastery, even in 40K, if you only do 40K, is genuinely hard, I think, ultimately. Because you even end up with... Wasn't there an Australian event a couple of weeks ago where Chaos Marines won?
Yeah, mostly Chaos Marines. Well, it was Demons with a little bit of Marines. And then there was the Australian Masters, which was only like six people, that Liam Hackett won with 90% Chaos Marines. But that's a list. The 60 possessed list got way better with the FAQ adjustments. As long as it doesn't play into Grey Knights, it's a fantastic list.
You had an FAQ. Oh, that's
nice. What? Yeah. The change to While We Stand, We Fight made that list like absolutely brutal. It was already brutal, but that just put it over the top.
Was there an FAQ update yesterday or the day before? Another clarity. Wasn't there the 40K FAQ, another update, and then an additional? There was three.
Yeah. There were two fixes to the first one. Effectively.
Jealous.
Yeah, and you got nothing.
Yeah, you guys got dick.
Nothing.
And we got, but I mean, the last one was just a stealth points adjustment to all the stuff that they screwed up. Most of the stuff they screwed up. So it was all stuff we knew. We just needed to know what the actual points were.
Pete, imagine this happened in 40K. I'll give you a quick clarity. The GHB came out, so chapter approved. All the Nighthorn points went down. Yeah. Then they did the FAQ and they just accidentally retconned the Nighthorn points back up. Mm-hmm. And then they just never spoke about it again. How would the 40K community deal with that?
I mean, it's happened before, not to that extent, not like an entire codex, but we've definitely multiple times had units get FAQ'd down in points, and then the next chapter approved came out, and it was the old points, and no one knew if it was supposed to be that way or not. Oh, hey, baby girl, you're awake.
Oh, hey,
yeah. Yeah, come here.
What's her opinion on the FAQ?
Yeah, that's a great question. Hmm? Hey, yeah.
What? So,
what's up? Yeah.
Yeah, what's up? Hiya.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you need daddy to go?
Yeah. Right. Go hang out with
him. I'm going to take off. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Pleasure. Right. See you later. Bye. See you later, Pete. Let's go over. What a lovely fella. Well, Nick, let's say goodbye here, shall we?
Yeah, what we're saying to round off the show, how we ended the show on this bombshell that Pete has some charcoal.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I just want to say thanks. I'm going to take a half day today. I'm done for the day, which is nice for me. Yeah.
Have you checked that with the boss, that you're okay to have the afternoon off?
Yeah, apparently that's fine. yeah, I'm going to go out and see the world. It's going to be super fun. I've done a lot of 12-hour days in the past week, so I'm going to take a day off, which is going to be super nice. Although, Nick, I'm pissed I still haven't finished off my Death Guard dudes, if I'm honest. I kind of want to give myself a half day of just painting and finishing off these fucking guys.
How many you got left? What you got left to do?
I've just got the characters to do, and yeah, also the rhinos, but just the characters. And then I'm done. And then I can be on to a new painting project, so it's fun. This biologist putrefier, though, he's going to get dry brushed to shit. I'm going to fucking get him done. So that's it. What about you? What, you got any plans for the day?
Working again this afternoon, and then no, just chilling at home. Probably finish off my Death Guard tanks. Probably that's about it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm gonna go out and see the world because I've only seen this office for like 3 weeks. So I'm gonna go for a walk. Listen, thanks for joining me, Nick, and also obviously to Pete earlier. Great conversation today. I thought super interesting. Thanks to everyone for joining us live. Obviously, Path to Partner. We don't know when we'll find out. We applied a couple of weeks ago, so we've got to wait to find out. So thanks for joining us in the chat so that we can try and get those numbers up. Massive love. Don't forget, if you want more 40K, Thursday night, we've got a TTS game, actually, talking about the problems we were talking about. We're trying to solve that on Thursday night. We've got a TTS game. We'll be doing some coverage as two people play a match. So very much looking forward to that. So do join us for that. Obviously live for the rest of the week as well. So it's going to be super fun. You're all brilliant. Thank you to everyone on Patreon. Thank you to everyone who watches live. Thanks to everyone to the podcast. You're all brilliant. Nick, you got any shout outs or stonks before we head out today?
Oh, God, you caught me off guard. I don't have any stonks. I don't know. I need to go into a deep state of meditation to come up with my stonks because it takes a lot of brain power to really, you know, figure out the market that way. I go into a deep state of meditation and I dream invade other people's minds, get the information, and then that's how I come up with my stonks. So
that works for me.
I can't do that live. Sorry.
All right. You sell anything with death wings, says Sergeant Rolf. All right, that's a good one. So fuck you, buddies. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. See you guys tomorrow. Thanks, podcast bros. Stay hydrated. Look after yourselves. Everyone have a nice day.